Good morning. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 10. We're going to read all the way through to chapter 4, verse 8. There's a passage we're going to look at more closely, but it's going to be helpful for us just to follow Paul's full train of thought there. But it is an absolute joy and an honour to share with you today. I've been really blessed by this Ruach theme, the breath of God that we've been looking at, and I trust you've been blessed as well. And so just to set the scene for a moment, it's 67 AD. Emperor Nero is the leader of the Roman Empire, and the Apostle Paul is chained up in a dungeon. His life is very close to coming to an end. He's awaiting his execution, which is only perhaps days, weeks, months away. And this is his final letter that he sends to his spiritual son in the faith, Timothy. And warning him and writing to him about many things, but as the part will interrupt the scripture in it is where he's warning him about some difficult times that are coming in the future. And it reads like this. It'll be on the screen for you to follow along. Speaking about some difficult times. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you have learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and in training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desires. They will turn and gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for the Lord's appearance. Wow. Yeah. The Bible is more than a book.
Yeah.
It's God breathed.
Yeah.
I remember a story from, I heard about there was an Australian farmer who owned a great, vast land, and in the middle of his farmland, he had a large mountain. Now, to the farmer, it seemed that the mountain, the soil on and around the mountain was very shallow. It seemed lifeless. It seemed dusty. It seemed shallow, only a few inches that sat above what he thought was bedrock. For years, he worked hard on the land. He tried to cultivate the land. He planted crops. But for year after year, the harvest would fail. The soil seemed too shallow. It seemed lifeless. It seemed dry. It seemed dead. And the harvest would be minimal. The crops would fail, and he struggled to grow enough food to feed his own family, never mind have a thriving farming business. And so eventually, he went bankrupt. A while later, another farmer bought the land, and very quickly he realized that under the shallow, dry, dusty soil was not solid bedrock. It was actually a zinc ore. And essentially, the farmer that went bankrupt has been sat essentially treasure that could have sustained financially his family for generations to come. Speaking from experience of my Christian walk, many of us would be tempted to describe the Bible as the first farmer may have described his land: lifeless, dry, ancient, irrelevant, a list of rules to be obeyed, regulations to keep. And with that view, we can miss the glorious treasure that the Lord has given us. It's more than a book. Church, as we take a closer look at our text this morning, whether you've only read one word of the Bible or whether you've read it cover to cover 100 times, I believe we're going to come across some timely treasures of our own that Paul leaves for us, truths that give us a fresh perspective of God's word and its use for us as followers in the 21st century that we are living in. First of all, the Bible is more than words, it's wonder. It's more than words, it's wonder. All scripture is God breathed. We see the breath of God in Genesis chapter 1 when it hovered over the surface of the waters and spoke life into the darkness. God breathed. We see it as he breathed life into Adam, the breath of God. All scripture is God breathed. We see it in Ezekiel, as we've heard in recent weeks. God spoke the life into the dry bones. All scripture is God breathed. Jesus, as he walked to the earth, he spoke to demons and they'd flee. Yeah. He spoke to the grave and Lazarus came out. The breath of God alive in our pages of our Bible. All scripture is God breathed. Timothy, the recipient of this letter at this time, he's a young minister in the ancient Turkish city called Ephesus. He's a minister in a church there. And as we read about Timothy in different letters, Paul's letters where he's referenced, it seems that Timothy, he lacks a bit of confidence in his leadership role. That he's feeling the pressures of being a Christian in that cultural moment that he was living in. Persecution was knocking on their door. Deceptive doctrines were creeping into the church. False teachers were perverting and distorting, trying to distort the truth and pull people away from the church. We got a glimpse of that in the passage we read earlier. But Paul reminds him of the authority of the message. Yeah. It's God breathed. Yeah. It's reliable. It's relevant. That as we open the scriptures, we're not just reading human thoughts, human opinion, but we're hearing the voice of God. Yeah. That it's alive and it's dependable. We can build our lives upon it because it's backed by the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's God breathed. The Bible is more than words. It's wonder. The wonder of God. The goodness of God. The heart of God. The Bible contains 66 books written by approximately 40 different authors, written over a 1,500 year period. The Bible continues to be affirmed by historical research, archaeological discoveries. It contains hundreds of fulfilled prophecies. It's the most circulated book in the world. It's the most translated book in human history. One study even tells us it's the most stolen book in human history. I don't know what that means. Therefore, Timothy could have a confidence. It's God breathed. Timothy could have a confidence. He was not just adding another opinion into the mix, into the conversation. It was the word of God that he could declare confidently, even in the midst of opposition and deception. His culture may have been changing, but the message remained the same. To put it another way, the grass withers, and though the flowers fade, the word of the Lord endures forever. The Bible is more than words. It's wonder. It's the wonder of God, the wisdom of God, the revelation of God, the heart of God. How awesome is it to read about the God we serve in the scriptures? Let me bless you with some of these names that we give for God. And this is just a very small amount. Through reading through Abraham, we know that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Yes. Through reading about Moses and the Israelites, we know that he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Through Gideon, we see that he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. In Matthew, in Isaiah, he is holy, 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 high and lifted up. He is strength for the weary, and he is power for the weak. In Matthew, he is Emmanuel, God with us. In John, he is the God who became flesh and dwelt among us, the God that so loved the world that he gave his only son. He is light, life, grace, and truth. And in Revelation, he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And that's just to name a few. We have 66 books that all point to the glory of God, the awesomeness of God, the wonder of God. The Bible is more than words. It's wonder. I remember years ago, scrolling through social media, I went into a phase of being really, I think obsessed is the word, with kind of end time stuff, not kind of going really deep into sort of all sorts of rabbit holes. Let's just say that. One time I was on social media, I saw this video that came up, and it was the perfect picture of what some of the Revelation pictures described, and it had a live symbol on it. I was thinking, gosh, this is happening right now. And it was showing like the clouds opening up and angels coming through and the trumpets were sounding. And I was like, it had the live symbol there. I was like, oh my goodness, it's happening. And I was just like trying to look outside, like what's going on. And it took me ages to come back to reality in that moment, because the CGI was before all the AI stuff. The CGI was so good. I was like, oh my goodness, it's here. And then after a while, and I was thinking, nothing's happening, I could go back into the video and say, oh no, that doesn't look quite right. There's something a bit strange about that video. I was deceived. The truth and what was going on, I'd mixed it up. And in some ways, in a similar way, as we consider truth on the whole and biblical truth, in some ways, the struggles for the Christians of Timothy's day, deception, false teachings coming through in the faith. Some of those that Paul described for Timothy are the same for others as well. The fight for truth, the need to hold on to truth, the ability to discern counterfeit gospels and deceptive lives. God's word is our anchor. Speaking about growing in the knowledge of Jesus, Paul writes in Ephesians 4, he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of and teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceptive schemes. It's an anchor for our spirits, an anchor for the soul. What about you this morning? What's the anchor for your faith? Is the Bible God-breathed, authoritative in your life? What's your life built on? All scripture is God-breathed. We can build our lives on his word. The Bible is more than words. It's wonder. Following that, the Bible is more than text. It's transformation. The Bible is more than text. It's transformation. Verse 16 continues and it says, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. I appreciate the wording here. The tense suggests an ongoing, continuous discipline of learning and growing into the scriptures. I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes it can be so discouraging to come to a text and you feel like being a Christian for however long, you feel like you should be able to know exactly what it means, understand it exactly. But sometimes I'm sat there looking, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this information I've just read. And I don't want to make anything I say, you know, sound easy and, you know, we should be getting this, because I know it's difficult. And we've got grace for that. It's part of our journey. It's an ongoing process. It's a continuous learning discipline. Little by little, our understanding develops and grows and we get that maturity by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. It's useful for teaching, Paul says. The word for teaching there is the same word as doctrine, essentially the things that we believe about our faith, about God, about Jesus, about our salvation. As we grow in the knowledge and in the confidence of these things, we become more mature. Jesus, when he would teach the people, he would often either open or close his messages with phrases like, consider carefully what you hear. Or he that has eyes to see and ears to hear, let them here. It suggests that we have a responsibility not just to passively consume what's being said, not just to passively consume text, but to come to it carefully, prayerfully, attentively, expectantly, to reflect on what we hear. There's a part in chapter 2 of this book that we're looking at, 2 Timothy. In chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, he says, reflect on these words that I'm saying. The Lord will give you insight into this. Reflection, meditating on God's word. Psalm 1 describes the person who meditates on God's word as being like that tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. Often I want to sprint through my Bible to check the box, but here we have the encouragement to go slow. Chew it over. Consider it carefully. Reflect on it. Speaking about meditating on God's word, I heard one preacher say this, that meditation on God's word to the soul is what digestion is to the body. It makes it personal and practical, that which has been seen or heard. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. The next two words are rebuking and correcting. And these are interesting words. The word for rebuking is the same word that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, where it says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance. It's that same word. It's like conviction about what we do not see. Here it's translated rebuke, which is exactly what it means, but it carries with it the idea of not only being confronted with the truth, but convicted and convinced. It shows us our flaws and our sins, but it convicts us of them so that we can take that corrective action. The Bible is more than just text. It's transformation. I'm dribbling here. Many people know North Korea today to be kind of very closed off, that very protect themselves from kind of outside influences, especially Western influences. And so it was back in the 1800s. So when the first missionaries arrived in Korea in 1884, they were surprised and shocked to find that a Christian community was already there. 20 years earlier, a man called Robert Germain Thomas had felt a call with his wife to become missionaries. And so they set sail from here, England, over to China, where they would become missionaries. Tragically, very quickly after they got there, Robert's wife passed away. And he was very discouraged, understandably. And he left the missionary society that he was a part of, and he took a job on the coast as a customs officer. Over time, you know, God put people in his life to build him back up and to encourage him. And as he worked on the coast, he would interact with a lot of Koreans who would come and trade and do certain things. And over the years, he built up his ability to chat with them. He built up his knowledge with the language, and he grew a heart for the Korean people. One day, there was an American trading company that came to China, and they wanted to go over to Korea to establish a trading relationship which had never been done before. And so they asked Robert Germain Thomas, because of his ability to speak the language, would he come with them? Would they come on the boat with him as they go to Korea? So the boat sets off, and Robert, now being a missionary at heart, he had a burden for the Korean people, and so he was going to be a translator, but he brought with him a whole cargo of Bibles. As the boat approaches Korean territory, they receive a very hostile welcome. To cut a long story short, the fighting breaks out, and the Koreans actually execute everyone on board. Not the happy ending you were expecting there. But before they burned all the boats, they carried off the cargo just out of interest to see what was on there. And the whole boat was executed, the boat was burned. But one soldier picked up Robert's bag of Bibles, and he loved the texture. He didn't really know what it was, but he loved the texture of the rice paper that the Bibles were printed on. And so page by page, he ripped out the pages of the Bible and he put them on his wall as wallpaper. So the Bible was plastered all over his wall. His nephew would come over, took notice of the words, and rather than admiring the rice paper and the texture, he began to read it and to study it. Over time, These words, as Paul says, brought conviction and correction, and he became one of the first pastors in Korea, leading many to the Lord, so that 20 years later, when the missionaries came, there was a Christian community. The Bible is more than just text. It's transformation. What a blessing the correction and the conviction of God is. What a blessing the rebuke of God can be. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, that as we read the scriptures, as we meditate on the scriptures, as we allow God's breath, God's spirit to work through us, through the truth that we read, we undergo what Paul describes here as training in righteousness. This idea of discipline, of God nurturing us so that we can produce fruit for his glory and for the good of others. I don't know what thoughts come to mind as you consider the correction and the rebuke of God in your life. It can be painful. But Hebrews explains it like this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The psalmist said it like this. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from days of trouble. As we read it like that, what a blessing the rebuke, the correction, the conviction of God is. He wants the best for us. He wants to guide us. He wants to mature us. He wants to strengthen us. God's word brings conviction and correction. What about us this morning? Do you allow God's word to give you those nudges where we need it? To expose the sin in our lives, to help us along that path for training in righteousness, as Paul would call it. The Bible is more than text. It's transformation. Our nation was built and established on a biblical worldview all those centuries ago, and how far it would seem we have drifted in these times. If ever there was a time that we needed the breath of God to bring conviction and the correction of the Holy Spirit, isn't it now? But it starts with us. Starts with you and I. The Bible is more than words. It's wonder. The Bible is more than text. It's transformation. And finally, the Bible is more than pages. It's power. The Bible is more than pages. It's power. Verse 17 continues like this. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is more than pages. It's power. It's for our strengthening, for our encouragement, for our empowerment. As we read Paul's words earlier, he foresees these difficult days that are ahead for Timothy. And his plea is that Timothy would not desert his post, that he would continue in studying and preaching and in learning in the scriptures, because rather than causing him to shrink back, God's word will equip him for every good work. And that's the challenge that all of us face on our journey of faith, our journey of reading God's word, that the goal of the Christian faith is not just to accumulate biblical knowledge, but it's to be faithful with what God is asking for, as it promotes action on what we hear, both individually and corporately. The Bible is more than pages. It's power. The band can come up. God's intention is that it would change us, equip us, empower us to be productive servants of God. James 1 says it like this. In James chapter 1, he says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a person who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. The Bible is more than pages. It's power. I think back to different points in my Christian walk. I see how the breath of God has carried me through despite my failings and my shortcomings. when life has felt confusing, God's word has been a light to my feet and a lamp on my path. When the anxieties of life have welled up around me and the pressures of life have seemed relentless, God's word, whether through its friends that have sent scriptures or the pages we read in scripture, God's word has spoken to the storm and calmed the waves. When I've entertained sinful thoughts, intentions, or motives, God's word has been a refiner and a purifier to my mind. And when my love for God has grown cold, my love for people has grown cold, God's word has been a fire that melts away the ice. When I felt trapped in discouragement, God's word has lifted me out of the pit, out of the mud and mire, has set my feet on a rock and given me a firm place to stand. And I say this to encourage you that we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is more than pages. Yeah. It's power. Yeah. I think of Jesus as he went into the wilderness to be tested. Every lie of the enemy that came against him, his response was, "It is written." The Bible is more than pages. It is power. It drives back the forces of darkness and speaks light into the dark. It equips us. It strengthens us, empowers us to do what God has called us to do. And as we become students of his word, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we become equipped for every good work. God reveals ways we can fulfill his will through the giftings that he's given you, the treasure that he's put in you. That as we lean into God, as we draw near to him, by his grace, we can discern his will. We can take action on what he's asking us to do. Romans speaks about it. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The Bible is more than pages. It's power. The power to discern truth. The power to do God's will. The power to live for him. The power to run our race well. To fight the good fight. To finish our race. Don't get me wrong. Being a Christian is not easy. Please forgive me if I've made any illusions that this is an easy role. Reading the Bible is not always easy. It takes discipline. Our problems do not go away just because we read the Bible. But the Lord has given us his word to equip us as we navigate these difficulties and the blessings of being a follower of Jesus in this cultural moment. With the breath of God with us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Maybe today I just feel encouraged just to, as we're speaking about God's word, maybe you have had some lies of the enemy that have been spoken over you, or that you have allowed to take you captive. And in the name of Jesus today, we want to declare by the word of God that the enemy has no hold over you, that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yeah. I'm going to bring this to a close, and I just want to read Psalm 19 over us just as you reflect on perhaps how God is nudging you, or the Holy Spirit is nudging you. But Psalm 19, it says this. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward." Churches, we've taken a closer look at our text this morning. Whether you've only read the Bible, one word of the Bible, whether you've read the Bible cover to cover 100 times, I believe we've come across some timely treasures for all of us that Paul leaves for us, truths that can give us a fresh perspective on his word. Remember, the Bible is more than words. It's wonder. The Bible is more than text. It's transformation. And the Bible is more than pages. its power. After all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that servant of God, you and I, may be fully equipped for every good work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God, we thank you for your word, Father. God, we look to you today. We pray the prayer that the psalmist prayed, Lord, as we come to your word. Lord, would you open our eyes that we may see the wonderful things in your law. God, we know that your word is powerful. We know that your word is alive. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And so, God, for anyone in this place even now, Lord, that is feeling the attacks of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, entangling them, God, in the name of Jesus, we come against that right now. We speak against that. We release the life and the light and the grace and the goodness of God over every individual in this place, over every family represented here, to our family, church, watching online. God, your word is authoritative. It's God-breathed. The same voice that spoke the world into existence is what we're reading on the page. So God, may your word challenge us. May it change us. May we look more like you. And all of this, Father, we want to reflect your goodness to this world. We want to reflect your glory. We want to honor you. We want to give you the name above every name in our hearts and our lives. And Father God, we do pray for our nation, that we would return to our roots, Father. Make you king of this land once again. We love you, Lord. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.